Welcome to Radio Kitchen. I'm Al Spohler. I can't remember how many times my mom whipped up a meatloaf to keep the family fed. I'm not sure what her recipe was, but there was always a lot of bacon and ketchup. And Chef Jerry Pellegrino, I guess that's a good starting point.
Yeah, I've actually rediscovered meatloaf. I'm not sure. We actually at Quark's had it on the menu for many years. Did a black truffle meatloaf. We pulled out the loaf pan and had a bunch of ground beef and just decided to make a meatloaf.
Wow. Now, is that, now let's, the starting point is what kind of meat do you use? Is this something just would be strictly ground beef or can you work with other things?
I would say that that might be the traditional way, but certainly just like as you'd be, like when you make meatballs and might blend in some pork and veal, it certainly will lighten up the texture if you add some of those other two meats to the ground beef, but not necessary.
Okay. How about some little savory things like onions and whatnot?
Yeah, that's where I think it starts to get a little controversial, because I do believe that starting with a base of sautéed onions and garlic is good. But you're going to see a lot of meatloafs out there with carrots and peas and all these other things mixed in.
Oh, goodness. You know,
that, I think, is should be served on the side of the meatloaf. They don't need to be in there. This isn't a one-stop shopping scenario.
If you're like my little brother, he would mash the peas and carrots into the meatloaf and eat it that way.
Oh, all right. Well, that's fine. That's to each his own is how I believe that goes. But the other thing, too, is, you know, we at Marylanders, especially making crab cakes, are always scared to put too much breadcrumb, you know, or crack or crumb in there because it's supposedly filler. But in the meatloaf scenario, it's not. And you want to have an ample amount in there because as you start cooking this ground beef, the fat is going to start rendering out, and the breadcrumbs, the dried breadcrumbs, will absorb the fat and keep your meatloaf more moist. So don't shy away from the breadcrumbs, you know, when it comes to making meatloaf. The other thing is, you know, the glaze on top. You know, I think traditionally you might maybe were mixing ketchup and brown sugar. I know that I have a friend of mine who literally just lays an ample amount of slices of bacon on top.
Yeah, that's my mom.
Did she do that? Just lay the bacon, allow the fat to drip into the meatloaf?
Exactly.
And the top, you know, that to crisp up. But I think you can, do some other things with your glaze. It does not have to be tomato-based. I have a friend who does a balsamic vinegar glaze on his. I've seen some folks do chimichurri on top.
Oh, my.
As a glaze. And, of course, you know, some maybe your favorite barbecue sauce might be the move instead.
Why not? You
know? Yeah. And cooking at low temperature is another one. Nice and slow. This is not something you want to cook fast. You want to let this stuff cook slow, not burn the outside, cook all the way through. And if you do that, like somewhere around the 325 for an hour or so, you should be in really good shape.
So, Jerry, if you got some kind of sugar in your glaze, isn't that going to like crisp up even at that low heat?
Yeah. So you'll cover it at first. You know, with foil, you're going to want to cover it. Or I do know some people who take it out and put the glaze on the last 10 minutes.
Yes.
But either technique works just as well. Either cover it for first 50 minutes and pull the top off or pull it out and glaze it for the last 10.
Jerry, we're going to put all these ideas on the website so people can try making a really good meatloaf at home.
I'm Al Spohler.
And I'm Jerry Pellegrino.
And you've been listening to Radio Kitchen, produced by Bob White, for 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.